I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Axis. I'm in Midrand, and I'm pleased to welcome Axis executive Tracy Maynard back to the podcast for our last discussion of 2019. We're going to talk today about incentives in the distribution channel and why you believe they are so important. First of all, the basic question, what do you mean by incentives?
When I started my career, one of the things I knew was if you moved to sales as an account manager where you owned a customer, you had a better chance of earning more. It was just the way that it was positioned. If you were someone that had a marketing or a back office type job, the opportunity for incentives, i.e. earning more, were a little bit less than if you were sort of a coal-faced salesperson. And I was determined in this IT industry to be one of those salespeople that just made more money than everyone else. And how that worked is if you were remunerated for sales, the rationale was you would then earn money for the business that you generate. And that kind of is how my sales career really started. And one of the things I learned in IT was if you are an organization that represents certain vendor products, one thing the vendors do really well is they try and incentivize a salesperson to sell more stuff. Okay. So what does that mean? It means that they give you a reward for selling a product that they represent. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've always tried to do as I've progressed into a marketing role as well is, do you actually grow your brand sufficiently by incentivizing people correctly? Mm-hmm. So incentives for me means where you have an opportunity to earn a bit more for a certain period of time on a certain product. And one of the things I think about a lot is in a physical world of selling physical goods, it was easy to track if your incentive did well. Because if you sold 10 of a product before their incentive and you launched an incentive and you sold 20, your maths tells you that you've sold double, therefore your incentive was successful. And one of the things I've tried to figure out is in this world of cloud, how does one incentivize a cloud salesperson? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as easy as saying, you know, sell double of something, because as we run with immunity type revenue streams and we have all these other things to consider with cloud, how would you incentivize a salesperson to sell? So one of the things I wanted to share and discuss with you today was some of the stuff Microsoft's put together mm-hmm. on their cloud solution provider program. And one thing is for sure, that if there's a reseller out there, I would dedicate a head to having someone in your organization work across vendors and actually help you as a partner find a way to benefit out of these incentives. I mean, I hear of cases where, and I know Discovery has the same challenge, where they have people with points to redeem and no one redeems them. Mm-hmm. And I'm suggesting as a partner, if you had an individual in your business that all they do is trawl through the incentive programs across two or three key vendors that you sell as a partner, imagine the revenue that's just lying there that you could benefit from and help your business become a better business. Mm. And it's a complicated thing, right? And I refer to complication in the cloud case because incentivizing a salesperson monthly is perhaps unusual in the distribution world because typically we pay quarterly or we pay on an annual basis. I think what cloud has done is force partners to understand that I need to pay my people monthly so they can appreciate that every deal I do, if they're 4 weeks in a month and I must do one deal a week, I'll get paid on those deals for the month and not see the incentive as just an add-on to a salary, but actually something that you can live off, something you can use to pay your water and lights account, because really it's as simple as that.
Axis, as we know, is a strong Microsoft partner, and you've been working on in this CSP cloud service provider partner program. Is that what it
That's
stands
it.
For? Driving what you call, and I'm quoting here, uniquely different behaviors. Can you expand a little bit on what you mean by that?
Mm, so what Microsoft's really trying to drive the partners towards is how many new end customers have they sold to in a period of time. So if they traditionally sold to 20 end customers, the idea with the incentive is they would incentivize them to sell to a new customer, i.e. as a partner, I've got to go out there and get a new customer. And the radical thing is we have a lot of partners who have a solid services revenue stream who actually don't really want to sell to anyone new. They're happy with their 20 customers, they know their service agreement, they know that what they need to do, and they're not really out there trying to get new business. What Microsoft is encouraging on CSP is for every new end customer you add, we will incentivize you for that. So two things benefit from that. The mm-hmm. vendor benefits from a partner or an end customer that might have been buying another brand, the partner also benefits from that because they will get new revenue from a customer they typically would not have spoken to. And whilst there might be a high cost to entry, they can typically make some of that margin back on some of the incentives they would get for the effort that they've put in. So cloud is a tough one, and what Microsoft certainly hasn't been short of doing is adding some T's and C's. And my suggestion on having someone in a business to help you through that is to make sure the things that you are supposed to do as a partner, i.e. you have to qualify to become part of the incentives program, is someone make sure the organization does that. And there are simple things. And once you've registered once, you've only have to register once. Mm-hmm. So your opportunity to be part of the program is there. Having someone administer it for you is key. And having someone be clear on what are the three things you need to do as a partner. So I need to get new customers. I need to make sure that my services are in line with what the incentives are offering, because typically Microsoft tries to grow a services business. And if you as a partner, and we've shared this in our first podcast, if you as a partner unsure what you do, now is a good time to figure that out. And Microsoft's got a thing called a usage incentive and an Azure incentive. And what the Azure incentive is about specifically is it's not just selling the customer Azure, it's about how he consumes that. So the incentive is based on if they bought $100 of Azure, do they actually consume those $100 of Azure for things like backup or disaster recovery? Because they don't want to be in a position when end customers got access to technology and is not using it. And I think how Microsoft has evolved is a few years ago, there wasn't as much a focus on consumption, but there was certainly a focus on just selling the license or the product without really understanding if the end customer is using the Microsoft technology to better their technology experience. I mean, that's what it's about for all of us. The distributor also benefits from this because we absolutely need to get our Azure consumption revenue as a number up, so it helps us, it helps the vendor, and it helps the partner. He gets a new customer.
So how is Access taking advantage of the Microsoft Incentive Program?
Well, we as an indirect provider, we are absolutely registered to become an incentive participant. What we also can do is help our partners in that process of how they become part of that incentives program. And one of the things we try and offer is expertise and services through our Azure experts to help them on that process. So no one's saying you have to do it on your own. We're saying you can become part of the Azure process by just doing your bit, which is ensuring you are enrolled, and we'll do the other bit and help you with the expertise. So one of the interesting things that I've learned about Azure in the last 3 years is there's so many services that Azure offers. There's over 700, I think, that Microsoft is offering today.
Wow.
Is how do you figure out which one works for you? And what we always encourage our partners is to bring us your current technology challenge, and we can help you dissect a section of those services that we believe will be of benefit to you more. Mm-hmm. Some people have expertise in certain specializations. As Access, we have Azure experts and design architects and solution engineers that can help them during that process. It's quite a complex one, and every end customer is different. And I'm not saying you can take one framework for one end customer and put it into another. It's vastly different. Mm-hmm. Also, the interest in having a hybrid solution continues to be very popular in South Africa. So there's no way an end customer is just going to sort of uplift everything and say, okay, you can just give me Azure. So it's a process and it's a journey. And the three-year journey we've been on with Microsoft, we've learned a lot. We've learned that there's some things that an end customer is happy to move without too much internal consultation, like backup and disaster recovery. But the minute you start talking about important company information, maybe not so much. So our challenge as a business and as a distributor is to make sure those partners are clear on why Azure is a safe choice. And of course, Microsoft's marketing around being the only hyperscale data center vendor in South Africa helps as well. And of course, there's the trust and privacy part that we can give our partners the assurance that Microsoft's done all that work and investment and all the accreditations that they need without expecting the partner to pay for that.
Now, you mentioned that research group Forrester has shown that you can automate incentives and that can help you remove friction in the partner sales process and streamline the lead to revenue processes. Can you just expand on that, please?
Yeah, so the challenge with incentives is they're great if you want to participate with them, and typically what I've seen in the channel in the last couple of years is you have to almost claim them. So you have to do all the admin, you've got to fill in hundreds of forms, you then have to upload them onto some portal, and then you pray. And typically there's a 90-day delay between the time that you put your claim in and the time that you get the money. So Really as a partner, it's kind of quite hard to work out if your ROI is actually in line with when you did the actual sale. So that's the first thing. And when it comes to automated, what Microsoft's done really well is when you're enrolled in their program, it'll automatically just pick up your incentives based on your MPN ID, and they will accredit those sales revenues to you and recognize them faster than if you manually had to go and submit a claim on a portal.
Okay.
So I think it's cool. I think it's important, though, that you're clear on what your obligations are. And I think as partners in the channel, they have a huge obligation, expectation on access. And what some of them used to do, and I'm glad to say a long time ago, was they would withhold payment with us until they got the incentive from the vendor. And I'm saying, well, that's really not how it works. So we've tried to make the vendors sort of responsible for the success of their own incentives by making it a validation type process where the partner needs to enroll, because then the obligation of access is off. Mm-hmm. My obligation is to provide my partners with expertise, and we're absolutely committing to do that.
What are examples of incentives that work particularly well?
I've had the privilege of doing many in my career, and one that works really well, and I've seen it, is where you give people a voucher of some kind. So I remember an incredibly successful incentive was one that I ran with a very prominent retail chain, and what the stores were in 700 locations across the country. So what you have is an opportunity for an incentive to also be actually executed quickly, because the results are seen very quickly. When the salesperson gets his voucher, he can that afternoon or the next morning go to his nearest retail outlet and cash in that voucher and buy consumer goods that he believes is of value to him. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've never quite understood is having an incentive trip to these extravagant locations is perhaps not aspirational for everyone. Mm. I'm convinced that a voucher for a very big leading retail outlet where one can consume airtime at the till, you can pay your water and lights bill, and you can pay petrol is something that's of more value. And I believe those things, certainly in South Africa today, drive a different response to a lavish trip, which is perhaps not inspirational for everyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. People are struggling. The question is, I mean, if you look at the incentive models within the channel in South Africa, or any country for that matter, how do you determine that they're actually working for you? What are the ROI metrics you need to pay attention to?
I think the vendors have a very simple thing, and it's just on revenue. You know, okay. I think in the physical world, it's easier. You sold 10, you then sold 20, you've doubled, therefore it's a success. I think with revenue and annuity streams like cloud brings is the first month is typically always low revenue, and you base it on the fact that every month I'm going to get that incremental business, and then in 12 months and 24 months thereafter I'll get incremental business. So ROI for a vendor like Microsoft is if they were buying no dollars from me and they had no customer ads. So then I add 5 new end customers, so that's a win. I have seats between 25 and 99, because typically Microsoft makes it even more complicated, and they say a new customer is one that hasn't purchased Microsoft before. Go figure. So that's a challenge. And they're really driving a reseller to focus their resources and time and energies onto building new customers and building a new revenue stream. And then the rationale behind that is everyone wins. So in the Microsoft world, ROI is I had 5 new customers. I've now got some $200,000 of additional revenue, and I can get a services contract bolted onto that. But my word of caution for a partner who thinks he's going to use incentives and rebates to fund his business is be afraid, because they're taking 90 days to pay.
Right.
And that's to stop the credit thing that happens, right? So you will purchase something, and then they would, the day the incentive ends is the next day return the goods to the disty, but get the incentive.
Yeah, right.
So we've lived through many of these examples, right? Mm-hmm. And the challenge, I think, with cloud is it's a lot harder to just do that, you know, just to credit the next month. And I think in the world of physical goods, you could do that. Order 100 notebooks, first day of the new month, send it back to the
Yeah.
So the vendors have now caught on to this, because our partners are smart, right? How do we figure out a way to get an extra 2 or 3% on our bottom line if we can use our vouchers or our incentives from a vendor?
Right.
And I, as I said, I just caution a partner who's using a rebate or an incentive to fund his business, because it's not really setting the right business model that encourages an SME-type reseller to get new customers. And that's really what we're trying to do.
It's not a long-term strategy that will really work.
Yeah, I mean, it might work in a certain case where you happen to be at the right place at the right time, but it's certainly not a model that you can, from a longevity point of view.
So in some respects, the move to the cloud and incentives on cloud-based sales is going to be easier.
Well, my view is it's easier if you pay the people monthly. So the first thing you've got to do is change how you pay salespeople. The second thing we need to do is educate the salespeople. Now, cloud is not something in terms of concepts and its The conceptualization of a cloud business is perhaps harder for a traditional salesperson in IT than there was before, certainly in hardware and software, so I'm probably generalizing a little, but I'm just saying that it would be easier if the only thing you did was sell cloud. I think the challenge in distribution right now is all of us, if I look at my colleagues across the freeway and down the road, is we all have a mixture of businesses that we have. We have a hardware business, we've got a software business, and there's some stuff that's in between. So it's not that easy to incentivize everyone in the same way as a sales group. So what do? Do you create a different team completely? Some of our international competitors have done a successful job at separating their hardware sales teams from their cloud sales teams, and they're remunerated differently, and they are incentivized differently. I think if we have two models, it's going to be complicated just internally to manage. I also think it's a bit of a payroll challenge to pay people monthly on an incentive thing, because typically there's the time to true up those incentives, check that they're correct, blah, blah, blah. And I think the cloud world is certainly exciting. How we choose as distributors to figure that out will be something we're going to be learning every day.
So what's your thinking? What's Axis going to be doing?
Well, my feeling is we need to change that we're paying them monthly. They need to see that one deal a week will mean they'll earn money that month. I'd like to see that. The second thing I'd like to see is probably a separate team, a team of people that understand what an annuity model means. They understand what, you know, monthly revenue means. They understand the contract value term. You know, all these things that perhaps is not in a distribution play currently. Perhaps it's sitting in insurance. Perhaps it's sitting in the medical field. And perhaps it's sitting in big life insurance companies that understand what a long-term contract means and what it means when the person opts out of the contract. Because there's also this flexibility that Microsoft has positioned CSP as having, which is you have the flexibility to put your seat count up or down when you want to, when it suits you. Over December, when we close, you have 300 users. You want to close them down between the 25th of December and the 1st, 2nd of Jan, and then you lower your seat count and then you up it again. Now, in the Microsoft world, you've taken out a contract. So they almost want to penalize you, if you like, for the days that you're no longer using the subscription. So the concept of upping and downing and debits and credits is quite a complex one for a partner who has not worked in that world before. We're figuring it out. We've realized that the way that we bill our cloud services has also become a question the partners have asked us. How do I bill my customer? Do I pay them? Do I give them a contract for every month and I give them a standard fee every month? Or how do I do that? So I think as a channel, the cloud has changed how we've had to think about how we not only provide services on the partners' behalf, but how we bill our partners and how they bill their customers. So I'm not suggesting it's a complete mess. I'm suggesting there's some things we can do to get it better.
Yeah. It sounds like something that needs a software solution to actually run it.
Yeah, you probably need some really cool app that just quickly, you just punch in a whole lot of data and it spits a whole lot of stuff out. And the challenge is it's all different. And I think the way that we measure it is a very simple thing, which is how many new customers have you sold to this month? And I think if a partner can close its doors on probably at 4 o'clock today and say that they've not got any new customers, you know, we can work with you to help you get new customers. It's not just we're not going to be part of it if we don't have new customers. It's like, let's just show you how to do that. Because often it's just untapping something that perhaps they've forgotten they could do, or for a dormant end customer that they haven't spoken to for a year and a bit. Let's help you rejuvenate whatever cloud discussions you believe you could have. We'd be happy to do that.
Tracy Maynard is executive at Axis. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thanks, Duncan.